Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we had two fine guests reflecting on the Premier League weekend and indeed looking ahead to Monday night football on Talk Sport, the Liverpool Palace game. Danny Kelly joined us for a bit of a deep dive into all the big talking points of the Premier League. And Kevin Day was here.
Yeah, he wasn't bad.
He was. I thought he was very good.
Oh,
I thought he was
good.
A solid 7 out of 10. Wouldn't you say, Kev?
Yeah, it reads like an egg.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Yeah, good afternoon, Paul. I've got some breaking news, actually.
Yes.
TalkSport understands his transfer story. Spurs have announced the signing of Anthony Taylor following his superb performance on loan yesterday at the Bridge.
We're going to be having a good chat with Danny about that shortly.
I expected him to run over to Antonio Conte and celebrate the equaliser.
Look, I'll be honest. I think Danny will be of a similar mind. We got away with one there. I think it was something of a mugging. But that can happen, of course. And as can a referee having a run against. We'll talk to Mark Halsey about this later on. It happened with Howard Webb, and he wrote about it in his book. He had a few games against Spurs where he'd always saw us off. And, you know, referees, they don't mean to do it. It's just the way it comes out, and that tends to be the perception. And Anthony Taylor has had a run of games that's been a bit of a disaster from a Chelsea point of view. We'll ask Mark if he's ever had that experience of covering a team where you don't mean to, but you end up finding yourself, sticking it to a particular side with some decision making.
The stats don't look good. That's the thing, is he's put more Chelsea players than any other team and all this sort of thing.
And
I've talked about him before, you know. And one thing I did see, and I've never seen this before, because I suppose there was a drinks break and allow for it. But when the players all went to the side, Taylor stood in the middle of the pitch, and you wouldn't have heard this at home, and I can't tell you what the crowd sang, but they sang it in unison.
Well, they turned it down. I wondered why suddenly they dipped the audio.
And it went on for about a minute, and I'm thinking to myself, he must be thinking to myself, I'm not having the best of games here. Honestly.
Well, look, as I said, I know he's had a lot of stick and terrible words being banned around, but all these referees, we know a few referees, and we've known past and present, and they go in with a clean slate. They don't go in with an agenda. They're certainly not sticking it to one particular side.
He didn't miss four clear chances like Chelsea did. He didn't miss from 2 yards like Havertz did. You know, he didn't fail to defend the corner that Kane scored from.
Yeah.
You know, you can't blame him for that. I mean, of course, the situation that led up to it and everything, they were sawn off a bit. But, you know, in the end, those situations happened.
We'll talk to Danny about this. This thing at the moment, the get out is the high bar. We've got this higher bar for fouls, which I know is generally going down well, as Graham Souness was saying earlier on. He's all for it. And I think there's been a fantastic little montage of some of his tackles to show what a big fan he was of a high bar in
exactly.
football. Two-footing a Wales player in the face was where the bar was when Graham was playing. But I think it might be Mark Hughes. I couldn't quite see who it was. But anyway, Wales fans will tell us. But we'll talk to Danny about this. But the high bar is a get-out. And we think the bar has been set at a particularly violent Boca River derby. That's where the bar is. Maybe the bar's got to be just moved down a little bit. Completely to where it was. Just a little bit from Boca River. No, you don't want anybody turning up to the game with a gun, do you? That's not what we want. Yeah. So
it should be said, though, that it was a wonderful game of football. Both sets of players, in fact, all the players this weekend should be congratulated for putting up such a tremendous weekend's football. And the heat was just unbelievable.
The pace that game yesterday.
Yeah, it was mad. I mean, it was a bit cooler at Chelsea yesterday than it had been on Saturday, where I was sitting in the sun. But the definition of the height of optimism was the bloke outside Brentford selling scarves. Oh, yeah. Just what you need on a hot day.
Are they, that's a good question. So, are they still?
Oh, yes, please, give me two.
Are they still selling half and half scarves outside the? They are, because in the this weather, I suppose it's there as a memento. But no one's thinking, oh, my neck's feeling a bit chilly. I just get a scarf on.
I've got a bloke that sits in front of me. It's fascinating, this situation
at Brentford.
Yeah, they're twins. But you can't tell them apart. They are totally identical.
It's one of, do they wear the same clothes?
They're never together. They share a seat. I think they've got two seats, one behind the goal and one in front of us. And the thing is...
Play good twin, bad twin? Is one of them really nice and friendly and the other one's a piece of work?
Well, they're both all right. They're both a nice guy, but he should be in the singing section, but he isn't. Do you know that type? He spends so much time with his back to the pitch, beckoning everybody to sing. You think, why don't you get a job as a steward?
Is he one of those who gets that goes... Come on!
That's exactly what he does.
Yeah, we've got a few of those as well. Like, they sing alone.
And at one point, he was going, I want to sit where you are, because we sit where we sit, the back row.
Did he sing that, or did he say
No, he said it to us.
Sit where you are. Come on!
I want to sit where you are, with our back to the thing, so we can stand up and we don't get in anybody's way. And the bloke next to me likes to stand up, so I stand up the whole game, which is fine. Yeah. But at one point, he clambered over us. He used to stand in like between us. I said, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I said, get out.
You
I said,
can't
it's
do that.
Boiling. I don't need you standing next to me, you idiot. It's ridiculous. He had a burger, which seemed to... He slumped after he ate it, and then he somehow revived.
Slumped? What was in it?
I don't know. Yeah. It just seemed to absorb the alcohol or something. I don't know. But it's so funny. His brother's
completely... Do you think he's had a drink then?
Oh, God.
Yeah. He's not an exuberant character.
He had a drink.
He's not drunk by osmosis.
He said to one place, I'm drunk. He said, no, really.
Well,
but the other
it's
twin...
It's often a sure sign.
The other twin, he doesn't drink at all. It's really... One's teetotal and one's hammered. Anyway, I hope the teetotal one's there next time.
Yeah. You'll know straight away, won't you? Really, you can tell. It's great. Two twins, one really sort of meek and mild, and the other one sort of off the scale solo singer.
Yeah,
have you got any solo singers near you? I mean, it's a group thing, isn't it? Singing football songs.
Yeah,
it's something, maybe he's there, but when one man stands up and says, I'm the only person in this section who can possibly. Have you got a solo singer? And what's the one he always tries to get away? And what sort of reaction? I say he, it needn't just be a man. Let us know. Talksport.com/H&J. Text to 81089. Tweet to TSH&J. Troublesome handshakes. We'll be touching on one, of course, from the Chelsea Spurs game yesterday. In any shape or form, I'll give you an example. I was walking into the offices here one day. I tripped on the step, fell on the glass door, dislocated my finger.
I remember
and it was almost at right angles. So I went, got into this, and it was agony. So I got in and somehow popped it back into place. I gave it, you do sometimes with a dislocation, but it was still very painful, but it wasn't at the angle it was at before.
No, I remember it. Yeah.
So that evening, I went off, it was still painful and sore, but I thought I'd got away with it. And I went off to do the Spurs Show podcast. I'll meet Mike Lee and Theo Delaney. Mm. And the Manchester United podcast had just finished.
Yeah.
And there was a guy there, much admired over the years, fine broadcaster, Eddie Nestor. You know Eddie?
I know Eddie. Yeah.
I'd never met Eddie before. And he listened to the show, so he was very nice as well. So I went and... Do you know when somebody offers their hand?
Yeah.
And you just forget.
Of course.
And he had a proper strong handshake.
Oh, no.
And I never said anything. But from that point on, I think that was the... I broke it. I realised it was broken.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think... and then after that, I went off to the Willow Awards do. And of course...
Everybody.
The night after... And that's a night of handshakes on a stage.
You have to do that affected left hand thing.
Yeah, it looks like you're a Masonic, doesn't it? It looks like a Masonic one where you offer the wrong, the left hand at a different angle. I think, what's he doing? Is he?
The only time I ever had anything like that was I was playing cricket.
Yeah,
and I went for a single, and I put my bat in the crease, fell over on the bat, and broke my collarbone.
It's so village. I'd love to have seen that.
It was ridiculous. I rolled over. The bat handle went straight into my shoulder. Anyway, this bloke comes up to me, and it was broken, but he grabbed my arm and he went, you all right, mate? It's not broken.
It was. Australian, yeah? Oh, yeah. I guess even they had a very funny accent otherwise. It's okay. Solo singers near you, troublesome handshakes. It could be ones that you went for, didn't, fist bump. What is it? I don't know, but it's any shape or form, really, the troublesome handshake. Talksport.com/H&J. Text to 81089. Tweet to TSH&J.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon, Paul Hawksby. Andy Jacobs here on Talksport. Every Monday, we'll be joined by Danny Kelly to look back over the Premier League weekend, and indeed, we'll be looking ahead to Monday night game on TalkSport between Liverpool and Palace, of course, at Anfield. But Danny joins us now. Good afternoon, Dan.
Hi there, how are you doing?
Yes, yeah, we're good, thank you. As you said, well, we're both aware of the fact that we got away with one yesterday as Spurs fans to Andy's Chelsea, who were far the better side on the day, but there was a mugging, wasn't there, on Fulham Broadway?
Well, first of all, let me just wave this for Andy's benefit.
That doesn't bother me. I don't have a problem.
Do you recognise this, Paul? Oh, do you recognise it?
Was that the last 125 years? Oh, I see. Yeah. Yes. Was that the 4-4 draw against Villa?
Against Blackburn, was it? Or was it Villa?
I think it was Villa. We found ourselves 4-1 down. Gabby may have scored.
We were wearing Blackburn kit, if you
remember.
Spurs kit. Of course we got away with one. And first of all, let me just say how great it is that we can all see each other.
Yes.
Because, of course, it was the weekend of eye contact in the Premier League.
That's very important.
Between Jamie Redknapp telling Gary Neville, look at me when I'm talking to you, to our friend Thomas Tuchel giving it the two fingers, to Antonio Conte. Apparently now, you have to make permanent eye contact with people in order to be a football professional properly. Of course you got away with one. I'll say it, Andy, and forgive me, but there is nothing more delicious, even on the counter at Greg's, there is nothing more delicious than the undeserved 97th-minute equaliser away from home in a London derby. And it was just, but Paul is not wrong. Spurs were rotten for an hour there. And Chelsea, of whom I have no expectations these days, except that they're going to spend about £500 million worth of money on footballers in the next few weeks, made us look absolutely awful, which made it all the more special for Spurs fans, I think.
Yeah, I think the thing with Chelsea is that this set of players, you see when they play against Liverpool in two finals, you'll see when they play against Tottenham, how they raise their game. That's why they're a good cup side.
Mm.
And the problem for Chelsea is when they play teams like Wolves and Bournemouth, and teams sit back and they can't break them down.
But the number that Tuchel did tactically on Conte, as he said afterwards, the execution, it's all very well to tell players what to do, then you've got to get them to do it, but They were brilliant. I mean, Spurs had no time and space to play.
No, Chelsea deserved to win the game. There's no question. But the problem remains. Everybody knows it. They need a striker. I don't understand why. They're talking about, I don't even know, it's true. They've denied making a bid for Anthony Gordon. I love Anthony Gordon. He's a terrific player. But it's not what they need, Chelsea.
But it's another one of those that you've got.
They don't need that. You know,
is he Pulisic?
Playing down the road, at Brentford is Ivan Toney. He'd do a job for United, he'd do a job for Chelsea. He's a brilliant player. I'm not trying to sell him for Brentford. But that's much more the thing you need than the other type. So, you know, they're still missing too many chances to really challenge for the league. That's the problem, you know.
But can I say as well, after, decades of... I mean, Spurs definitely also got the good end of the referee in this case, after decades of knocking at Chelsea. But more importantly, the real transformation for me was that for the first time in living memory, Andy, Spurs out-dark-artsed Chelsea. They were the better at the conniving and the messing about, weren't they?
They were to a point, but, you know, again, you rely... Oh. What is the VAR there for? What does Mike Dean want? Did he want a piece of Cucurella's hair to be in his hand? Did he want him to look like Yul Brynner after he... You know, it was absolutely ridiculous. I don't know what these people are doing.
I wouldn't be at all surprised if Christian Romero keeps pieces of players he comes up against, whether like religious relics. He has, like, come and see the hair of Cucurella.
You just wonder, you know, and it was incredible, you know, just... That led to the goal, the corner, but they didn't defend the corner well, and that's why Spurs got the equaliser. But, you know, again, with the old Richarlison, he's pulled Koulibaly over to mark him, to be in his line. So they're both blocking Mendy's view, and he's offside. He is clearly offside.
The ball
brushes past him, doesn't touch him, but enough.
Really good.
Again, that should have been disallowed. You know, that should have been disallowed.
Absolutely.
There was a foul on Bettencourt. That should have been, on Havertz by Bettencourt. So, you know, Chelsea were unlucky, but, you know, this is the way it goes. You get some, you know, you win. It's just
Do these things average themselves out over the course of
Well, they don't when it's
season.
Anthony Taylor. That's the problem. That is a real problem. problem. I mean, Conte said, he said, I refuse to criticise Anthony Taylor. I'm not surprised. You should have given him a win bonus. I mean, really? I wouldn't criticise him either if he'd given me two goals.
Do you think Christian Romero sometimes gets home and announces from the front door, darling, I'm back from the game, I've got a broken leg. You take that straight back to the owner, Christian.
That's right. Get it down the hospital. They may be able to do something about it.
Absolutely. Anyway, I think your point, Paul, was going into the game. Oh, yeah, we got a very
briefly. Got there very quickly.
Spurs underestimated Chelsea and probably overestimated themselves.
Yeah, I think there was a touch of a team that believed a little bit too much hype and another that had a point to prove. But, you know, it was just a bad day at the office for Spurs. I don't doubt for a minute they'll bounce back. They did show a lot of character to get back in the game.
What's this music, Paul?
This is the music that says, shut up talking about this game. It's the music from the Oscars. I think it's called Get Off. And it's the time for us to...
You need to make it louder.
It's time for us to change games. Here
we
go.
Don't stop speaking, just make it louder.
Let's change games. Okay. What's the next game? What's the next game that we're going to do, Danny? Where would you like to go next with your running order? Do you have it in front of you?
I think
we're going to do a bit of Forest. West Ham.
Forest West Ham.
Oh, yeah. What a great decision by Manchester United to get rid of Dean Henderson. Tremendous. Honestly, you look at these clubs and you think, what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, should West Ham be worried? I mean, they seem to have bought good forward players, but David Moyes afterwards was saying we didn't do very well in the pre-season scoring goals, and now it's carrying on into the season. And maybe he's just trying to G up the forward players they have got. But it's not good. Forest are a team who have been slung together, albeit, you know, I'm told by the experts on Trans Europe Express, with some very, very canny and astute cheap-ish buys, but they are a thrown-together team for the Premier League. They've lost all those loan players, etc. West Ham shouldn't be losing games like this, should they? Or is that just not competitive enough to say that?
I thought they were very fortunate, Forrest, to get something out of the game. West Ham hit the woodwork. They had a penalty, which they should have scored. A goal that was completely wrongly disallowed. I don't get how that VAR looks at that and thinks, that's just like a basketball charge. The bloke took a charge. He wasn't going to get to the ball. It didn't affect the goal. I couldn't see how that goal could be disallowed. I just couldn't.
You think Henderson's going to make the World Cup squad?
Well, he probably deserves to. I mean, you know, he's got a chance, hasn't he?
I mean, this we come back to the knee-jerk reactions. Based on yesterday's or the weekend's games, Dean Henderson should be in the England squad. I mean, we haven't done your knee-jerk reactions to the weekend, Andy. I don't know if you've
compiled that. I still think Forest are going down. I do, whatever
You make a good point. It's interesting. If you're going to buy, I mean, they've got more coming in. If you're going to buy 16 new players, you better stay up because you'll pay for it the following season, won't you?
Unlike Monza in Serie A, they made their Serie A debut of all time yesterday, owned by Silvio Berlusconi, now into his 80s, still with the jet black hair. Mm-hmm. Monza have got 17 new players, every one of them on a loan with an obligation to buy, provided they stay up. Wow. How about that for cleverness? Mm,
that is the way 17 it's structured. Yeah, that's very...
Where are they going to get a 17 times 10 million from if they do stay up is a separate issue, but that's what they've done.
Anyway, look,
and Forest are going somewhere the same.
They needed that, and it was a good result for them. And you're right, West Ham, it's not an ideal start to the season, but I'm sure they'll be okay.
Once Scamacca gets up to speed, they've got high hopes for him. I saw our old mate Tom Rennie of this parish sort of saying, I don't want to see defensive midfielders taking penalties. I mean, he's taken three, Declan Rice. He's missed a couple of them.
It was a poor penalty.
They've got to find a settled penalty taker, maybe, Danny. That would help them as well.
Well, they have in the dark recesses of their history, they have Ray Stewart to look back on. whoever's the best at belting the ball really, really hard is often a very good place to start with your penalties. And I know it's all about now fancy run-ups at Zaza style and Jorginho style, but somebody who can put their foot through the ball, I reckon, we'll still have every chance of taking a lot of very good penalties. Yeah. But I'm actually, this may be the first time I've ever agreed with Tom Rennie, including a whole season of doing a podcast with him. forward players are used to putting the ball over the line. That's what they do for a living. I'd be happier with a forward player taking the penalties.
Just very quickly, Ray Stewart, the only man in history in a shoot questionnaire when asked, what's your favourite food, to say mince. And they said, what do you mean? Shepherd's pie or mince and onions, mince and potato? No, just
Three
mince.
Ball.
Just mince. M-I-N-C-E. Ray gave us. That's good. Yeah. Anyway, we've got Seven more games to come, indeed eight, if we look ahead to tonight's game, yeah, which we will live on TalkSport. Danny Kelly is with us for the next half hour, and we'll be cracking on with the Premier League review very shortly.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Danny Kelly is with us to look back on the Premier League weekend. Let's head to the Emirates. Arsenal, Leicester, very entertaining, high-scoring game. And painfully for us, Danny, I suppose for Andy as well, because they've had a few battles with Arsenal. Arsenal looking pretty strong currently,
very
aren't
strong.
They?
Well, I don't think it's any secret that they're a good team now, Arsenal, because they've added Premier League winning know-how in Gabriel Jesus and the left back to a fantastic crop of young players. I still hope, with my Spurs hat on, I still hope they'll find ways to mess it up in midfield as the season goes on. But actually, on paper, they look very good indeed. And they were very fluent against Leicester. Mm. A Leicester team who remind me a little bit of the knight in the Holy Grail, the Monty Python film. As various members of their squad get chopped off, the owners keep going, "Don't worry, that's only a flesh wound." They're going to be putting out nine players in some of these games soon unless they get a move on in the transfer window. But, Paul, you're absolutely right. I wrinkle my nose while I say it. They look as good an Arsenal team as has been for 5 years.
Absolutely,
very good.
I think
balance,
again, a lot of these early games are a contrast of recruitment. I mean, you know, it's a big feature of this. Arsenal's is good, Leicester's is non-existent. You know, and that's proving to be the case. I mean, I'm surprised with Leicester. You know, I'm not sure. I've heard, you know, they keep saying, well, they can't afford to buy players and blah blah. But what happened? They were this club that always bought and sold and recruited well, and you know, they've got a great manager there. They won't keep him for very long if they don't back him. You know, the next big job that comes up, he'll be going for it.
He was kind of slightly contradicting himself, because apparently after the game, from what I've read of quotes from the press conference, he was saying, you know, we don't necessarily need new signings, we're fine. But after the game on Match of the Day, he said, you know, you can just see your team has freshened up when they've brought new faces in, and that energises everybody. So that clearly must be the case with his club as well, Danny.
They're walking a tightrope, aren't they? They're playing hardball with Chelsea for Fofana, and they're absolutely right so to do. They're forcing Todd Boehly to go to, what, 80, 90 million for him. The trouble is, if they play hard ball too long, you don't get the time then to spend the 90 million. And, of course, with the transfer window coming towards you, other teams then start taking the mickey out of you because they know you're desperate to spend the money.
This is really, really,
as you say, for a brilliantly, brilliantly run club like Leicester to have got themselves into this situation, and I speak as a supporter of a club that's done this season after season after season, they've got to be very careful, I think. You know, because what are they? One injury away to Jamie Vardy, away from being a bottom half team again?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Let's move on then. The music's coming.
Hopefully, Arsenal will find it difficult with the Europa League.
Okay, hopefully, yes.
They do look good.
You know, they are looking very good at the moment, and hopefully, Arsenal fans are buoyed by our fear of how well they're doing.
You can smell the fear.
You can. Brentford, Manchester United, Andy, you were fortunate to have been at the two great games you witnessed this weekend.
I was genuinely shocked. It was genuinely shocking. I want to tell you, there were moments in the first half you may not have seen on telly where Eriksen had the ball and there were four United players, their forwards, all standing in front of him, all marked by Brentford players, none of them moving, and you go, he's just looking and thinking, I mean, what's the point of signing a player like him if you don't have any movement ahead of them? They were a little bit better the second half, but it was too little,
they kept
too
it to
late.
Nil, didn't they? But that was all.
My Brentford mate wasn't happy though. The fans, some of the fans behind the goal booing Eriksen, I thought that was pretty poor. It's one thing to do something, but to boo him
Thomas
every time
Frank
he touched
had
the ball,
go about that.
I thought, come on, you know, he came in there and he helped you stay up. So,
that's true.
I mean, the difficulty, chaps, of even talking about this game is reflected in the paperwork for this show. If you check the original running order and the revised one we've now had in the WhatsApp group, they both give the result as Brentford 0, Manchester United 4. We cannot get up. They don't look at it. I'm
That's
telling
true.
You.
You're right. They I just looked at it.
They cannot. We as a collective, we cannot get our head around the idea that Manchester United are absolutely no good. And they are absolutely no good. And the question is, I mean, I see Gary Neville and Jamie Redknapp arguing about who's responsible and all the rest of it. I mean, Jamie Redknapp has the point here. These are not terrible footballers, but they're a terrible team. So what is going on?
Yeah.
I mean, how can these players not find some way? Even let's say that Erik ten Hag turns out to be the worst coach in the history of association football. who doesn't wear a gilet. Let's assume that that's true. Surely 11 professional men can get out there and say, we've got to do this, we've got to do that. That's what Brentford do. We certainly need to mark Ivan Toney. They're doing none of that. They're standing around. I don't get it.
The trouble is that it was a very, very hot day, as we know. And when you go two down, mistakes from your keeper, it drains you. You know, Brentford, you could see physically.
Well, it was almost like the Iceland-England game. I think the United players could see the back pages of the tabloids in their head as soon as it got to 2-0. I mean, you don't need sulky footballers. We're going to talk about Mbappe later on with Andy Brassel. I'm sure you did on Trans-Europe Express last night. Nothing
amazing.
Worse than sulky
players.
That was
incredible.
And Ronaldo, look, they've got to make their minds up, because all the time he's there, if he is staying, fine, get him to buy in. If he's not, get him out of the place.
Again, the recruitment, you know, both teams. You know, Brentford is such a brilliantly run team. They get Ben Mee for nothing.
Yeah.
You know, he's a typical Brentford signing. He scored a goal. It was terrific. Rose high above the £57 million 5'9" defender. You know, you just think Tuchel didn't
want... Well, he didn't rise. He just stood there.
Yeah, he just stood there. Exactly right. Koundé, they didn't want Koundé, Chelsea, because he's too small. This is a...
He stood upright like a salmon. From the set piece.
You know, you look at a team like Spurs, they're all over 6'2". This is a big league of big players. Yes, of course, there are Bernardo Silvas and players like that. But in general, you know, it's very hard to be a small defender in the Premier League.
Yeah. Martinez is the world record signing for a defender if measured by money per inch, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you're right, Brentford deserve all the praise. They were fantastic.
It's unfortunate for them, because we can't talk. You're right about Brentford deserving all the praise, but the story is a legendary club whose players appear to have ossified.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
Ten Hag not helping himself. I mean, you know, ideally play Eriksen in the position he's good at, as opposed to, is he playing in goal next week? I mean, who knows? It's just, it does seem very odd. There's some odd calls, but he has been sold a pup by the look of it, and he needs some help from the
board. Social media is great. Eric 10 games and all
this stuff.
That's brutal, isn't it?
That bit in the headlights. Yeah. Anyway, I'm sure Manchester United...
It's okay, their next game is against Liverpool. It'll be all right.
Yeah, they'll be... Yeah, no worries next Monday
night.
Well,
you never know, do you?
The music's faded up. Manchester City 4, Bournemouth 0. That was the right way, man.
We should spend about as much effort on this game as Bournemouth did.
Interesting talking point, though, on to Scott Parker's woolly in a minute. But first, Scott Parker said after the game, and he said it on Match of the Day, this is not our league. Man City away is not a game that will define our season, which is fine. But you do wonder, whether teams like that, whether Scott and his coaches and other teams that are expecting probably not to be in the top six, sit down at the start of the season saying, right, we need a point from that one, we need 3 points from that one, we need this, and we'll stay up in our mini league.
That's it. Brentford do that. They have an algorithm to see, they know roughly where they think they're going to
finish. And everything else, City away is a free hit. If it goes well, great. If it doesn't, then don't let it bother you, because it won't define your season.
You're absolutely right. And Andy's right. I understand that Brentford have a chart which tells them. But I wonder whether, the question is, should you do that? The free hit is a better argument, isn't it? We'll go out there, we'll do our best and hope we'll win. It looked like Bournemouth had decided we'll go out there, we'll fulfil the fixture, and it doesn't matter if we get battered 4, does it? And I'm not sure that's right.
They didn't give it a go, as Harry Redknapp would say. They didn't go and give it a good go.
But worryingly for the rest of the league, Pep made this point after the match, you know, that City normally start quite badly.
Yeah.
They started pretty well. That doesn't bode well for the rest of the league. They do look so strong. And De Bruyne, I mean, you have to admire him. The classic, the run and finish, the assist for Foden.
Well,
he's a wonderful player.
Pep said he's annoyed that he gets so many assists. He wants to get more goals. The other thing that Pep said, which was brilliant and probably so true, is that the one that Foden didn't square, when he said Phil's going to have to learn that Erling will always be there. In the past, you know, you couldn't play that ball instinctively because you didn't have a striker, a pass to. There was a good chance there wouldn't be someone there, but Erling will always be there. And unfortunately and frighteningly for the rest of the league, Danny, he's right, isn't he?
The addition of Haaland, I think I said it on here last week, never mind when he gets used to City. When City get used to him, I wasn't really a believer in the argument that it would be a two-horse race. I think the addition of Haaland has moved Manchester City away from Liverpool. We might be watching one of the great teams that the Premier League has ever produced. And you could argue, well, there's no Roy Keane or there's no David Silva, although De Bruyne is a fantastic player. Maybe they wouldn't have one player in an all-time Premier League 11, but the collective, and I'm glad that we're going back to collectives now, City are going to be very, very, very hard to stop. And I think it'll also benefit them in Europe as well, where we've seen them, games against Spurs, games against Spanish teams, where they dominate, and manage to lose 3-2. Those days are probably over with Haaland. And the challenge for everyone else is to get, you know, to try and get back up to speed with them. It's not
very
about
difficult.
They're not coming back to the rest of us.
Yeah. He only touched the ball 8 times, but 2 of them let set up a goal.
So, yeah, that's, you know, right. That's now, we must touch before we head to the
Scott's
travel.
Jacket, Admiral come Parker. On.
Scott's jumper. He wore the jumper. He had the only man wearing any kind of knitwear at all in this country on Saturday afternoon.
It's true.
With a shirt and tie. They're made by Tom Brown, one of those unfortunate names where everybody must say, what were your school days like? Must drive you mad. Yeah. Was it the first? Yeah, I've not heard that before, mate. Thanks very much.
And are you, and also then, when he stares blank, when you say, what were your school days like, and he stares blankly at you, go, have you ever been funking for Jamaica?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, I'll try the other one that people always say. Yeah. Yeah. So I've looked online. Tom Brown with a THOM.
Yes.
The online grey cashmere 4-bar cardigan. It looks a bit paramilitary. I find it quite a troubling look.
I call him Admiral Parker.
Do you know, it looks like something from 1984, doesn't it? It's one of the uniforms. It's quite a troubling. But
I bet it doesn't cost 1984.
No, it doesn't cost. It's over. Yeah, you're right. It's over 20 quid. You could pick one up. I think retail is $1,350, but I've seen it for as little as $798 if you shop around. £798 if you shop around.
Well, I always turn to Andy for my sartorial advice, given both his background and his elegance these days. Is it worth, let's say, 900 quid medium price, Andy?
No, not at all. But if you've got that sort of money, you know, I mean, you can pay 600 quid for
it's
a white
cashmere.
T-shirt.
I mean, it is cashmere. That's true. It's a lovely item, sir. Have you got it in your size? Anyway, more from Danny Kelly shortly as we look back on the rest of the Premier League weekend.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Danny Kelly is with us. We're looking back over the Premier League weekend. We've got a few games to fit in, much like the last games on Match of the Day. There'll probably be less focus on the 2-0 all draws. So let's go to Villa-Everton, Danny, and the main talking points from that. That was a no eye contact handshake between two great friends, of course, from their England past.
Sir?
Yeah, so very strange, wasn't it?
In the Let's Play Paul Scholes on the Left derby, I think both managers are feeling in different ways lots of pressure already at this early stage of the season. And I worry about Everton because they lost a lot of football matches last season. Lampard come in, they continue to lose a lot of football matches. They look much more organised in losing the matches, but that to me is almost worse. You know, they're struggling, I think, to break out of that. You know, they got away with it in the end in the relegation battle. They're struggling to break out of the habits of previous season. And what's worse is I think Richarlison brought something to them, and that was chaos. The other teams, at least Everton, had something chaotic about their play with the kind of things that Richarlison does. The lack of that meant not only are they well organised, but that soon spills over into predictable. Aston Villa, on the other hand, I don't know what's going on there. I hate to see talented players injured because it's such a waste of a large chunk of their possible careers. And so the news that Diego Carlos is out for nearly a year, I think it'll be a whole season. I mean, that means that whatever's happened between Tyrone Mings and the manager has got to be made up somehow.
Because, well, he did play very well at the weekend. Yeah, he rose to it.
I thought so. I think he's really good, Mings.
They do look a bit wobbly, Villa. Once Everton scored, they really were hanging on. And the encouraging run from Onana for Everton's goal. He looks decent, although he made a mistake for their second goal, Villa. But he does look quite good.
I mean, we're at that stage when a lot of new players, we were talking earlier on about West Ham, and they've signed a guy they think is going to score a lot of goals and be successful. But none of these people have had any time to bed in, all these new signings. No. It's not easy to pick up the pace. I actually think the couple of little cameos Basuma's had, he's not looked himself. I just think it's going to take him time. You're fitting him with new players, and it's very early
Richarlison
in the season.
All right when he came
Richarlison did.
He's a good player.
You've got,
like
to give, you've got to give people time to settle in.
Great finish by Danny Ings there, though.
Can Everton afford to sell Anthony Gordon to Chelsea? I mean, they can't afford to turn down that kind of money, but can they afford to let him go?
Why would Chelsea want him? They don't need it. I love Anthony Gordon. I think he's a terrific player, but what do they need him for? They need a striker. You know, this is a bloke that's only scored four goals. He's no good for them for what they need. So, and Everton shouldn't sell their best player. That would be a disaster for them.
Unless it's a smokescreen for Calvert-Lewin, Andy.
but he's injured a lot and injured for a bit.
Yeah.
Let's
have a look at Southampton 2, Leeds 2. That's our next game. And
we beat the music that time.
Yeah, we did for a change. Ralph Hasenhüttl needed that. You do wonder if it had stayed at 2-0, whether, you know, we'd have the old sack race odds from Paddy Power later on and he'd be top of the tree. He may still be, or maybe Eric Ten Hag's running a close second. I don't know. But, up pops Carl Walker-Peters and got them out of jail to an extent. It was a good fight back.
Yeah, but this is the opposite. The Southampton do that thing where they concede goals in bunches and then concede large numbers of goals, or, and it tends to be at home, they go behind and then fight back very, very bravely. The trouble here again is how many of these fight backs can they do to gather up the necessary... I mean, I'm sorry to talk about this, but, you know, we all know there are about eight teams in the Premier League who are vying for the European place, and everybody else, whether they like it or not, are trying to avoid relegation. Mm. There isn't that middle league anymore. I think anyone could fall into a relegation battle. And Southampton, again, a bit like Everton, their habits suggest, without using the terrible cliche of circling the drain, that they are at least travelling in a drainward direction. And they've got to get out of that. I mean, is Hasenhüttl Andy Scott Parker's nearest challenger?
He went back to Club Shop this week.
He did. So. He moved away from assistant manager of a Tyrolean hotel, didn't he? And he went on to... He should wear his... When he was good, he wore a very tight black tracksuit where he looked like he was wearing a wetsuit for games.
He should
go back
to
the wetsuit.
I thought his substitutions were good. Aribo made a difference. Yeah. Mara and Armstrong. Yeah. So, yeah.
And in that mini-league, which the mini-league algorithm will probably come back to throughout the season, beating Leeds at home, I would have think they would have been looking for 3 points home against Leeds, Southampton, wouldn't they?
Absolutely. Why wouldn't they? Leeds haven't improved that much since the relegation-haunted season that we've just had. If they have... I like to think that these charts are real, physical charts, and they're putting different coloured stickers, little dots, red for no chance there, we'll just like we'll get our tummies tickled, orange for if we play nine at the back, we might get a 0-0, and then the yellow one says right, or green, we're going for this, and that must have been a green dot match for them.
No, we'll have an idea of how good Leeds are next week, because they play Chelsea, and they lost 3-0 late last year to Chelsea, when Chelsea weren't playing particularly well, so we'll see how much
they encouraging improve. Signs, that's a different style. And you kind of sense they'll be all right, but it's very early. We've still got to squeeze in the game between Newcastle, Brighton versus Newcastle, a nil all draw. And the big talking point was Nick Pope. Who knew he's a really good goalkeeper and was an absolute bargain for 10 million quid.
I thought Callum Wilson was a bit unlucky with that decision. To me, it looked like a good piece of skill, really.
Yeah, it was a difficult one, wasn't it? They said the foot was high, apparently. I mean, the foot was high. You're not going to get away with that, are you, really?
When you get these games between teams who look incredibly closely matched on paper, you always hope that that closeness will be reflected in a 4-4 draw. But, of course, both these sides could still... they're improving football teams. who don't have a cutting edge. And, you know, nil-nil. But you could argue, Pope, you can't have it both ways, Danny. It wasn't a natural nil-nil because one of the goalkeepers had a blinder, you know.
No, one real standout save, the Lallana header. Yeah, that was a brilliant save. And they're going to let Mopé go as well. Brighton seem to be able to let lots of good players go and bring a couple in and still have enough.
He's one of those strikers that drives you mad. He'd probably be great in the Championship, but he misses too many chances.
Do you know who would be most surprised by that decision? Neil himself, because he believes he is a brilliant player. and all he's got running against that is the evidence of our own eyes and the statistics.
Yeah, that's very true.
Let's have a look at Wolves versus Fulham then. Mm. Again, no major talking points. The big one that came out of it was Mitrovic may be lucky to stay on after a bit of a double yellow in one sequence. Mm. And also the miss pen. I mean, you can't start saying, that proves he can't score goals in the Premier League. It's a penalty. It can happen to anybody, can't it, really?
Well, you know, I went into great detail last week about how much I love Alexander Mitrovic, but part of that is because his good performances are such a long distance away from when he has days like this. He'll miss a penalty. He'll do everything to persuade the referee to send him off. I had to check if it was actually a bank holiday next week in Serbia, but it turns out it's not. It's not carnival in Serbia. And as I said last week as well, so much of Fulham's season depends on what he does.
Mm.
And they will be at the moment pampering him and giving him extra rub downs and saying, don't worry about Alexander, everything's going to be fine, because they cannot afford to get on the wrong side of this fella. Four or five more weeks like this, though, we might see a very different attitude from everyone else at Fulham.
They made a good start for them, but next week is a very key game for them. And it's a local derby. It's Fulham against Brentford. It's going to be fascinating. And
that should be a great game,
lively,
by the way.
Yeah, I think it should be. Yeah.
Let's have a quick look at tonight's game, Liverpool versus Palace. Kevin Day is going to join us later on for a greater look at this one, big Palace fan. So is there anything down for Palace tonight? Where would this be in their mini-league algorithm, you think, a trip to Anfield? Then? Well, tough start for them, as Andy said, after Arsenal at home last week. Two tough games.
Well, I presume it's a big red dot on the melamine chart that we've got up, probably even with a black line drawn through the dot as well. Because while I say Manchester City look to me to be the class of the field, we're in an extraordinary time in the history of the Premier League where the second best team, if I might be so rude to Liverpool, are also a fantastic team. And it wouldn't shock you if they won the Champions League, you know. Mm. And so Crystal Palace going there, as you say, for Patrick Vieira, when he saw those fixtures, I suppose you could take the positive and go, at least we'll get those games out of the way. Yeah. But when you're sat nearly bottom of the table with only Manchester United to provide you with seating, it's not a good thing for the start of the season. Look, I love football because things happen, but I can't see anything other than a Liverpool win here.
It's not a bad time to play them, though. It's not a bad time to play them. They weren't brilliant last week, and they have got Thiago injured, and, you know,
they might be angry. You might get the backlash.
Still hard to make a case for Palace, really, but we'll see.
Well, I think we've squeezed it all in the allotted time, which is
unlike it couldn't be done.
They
said
all three of us.
well done.
Fantastic, Danny. Enjoyed it again. We will do it all again.
As regards to music for getting us off, Prince's Get Off is available, you know.
Oh, yes. That
just as a matter of interest.
Maybe we should have our own, shouldn't we? If the song is actually called, let me tell you, let's have a look. I did look into it a bit. It's called Too Long. The song is actually called Too Long, and it was written just effectively as a bit to get people off the stage of the Oscars when they're going on too long, saying thank you to my agent and my mum, you really love me.
The phrase you're stretching for there is it was written because they couldn't afford Nimrod.
Yep, probably.
Let's
true.
Be honest. Yeah.
That's true.
Let's be honest.
Okay, then maybe let's introduce our own version of this. It'll do the same
I'd
job.
I love that.
So we'll have music from the great
played
Prince
on a Casio, possibly played on a stylophone. It'd be nice.
On a stylophone, if we can still talk about them, considering their advertising campaign. Danny, thank you, and we will catch up with you. We will catch up with you next week.
Of course you will. Bye-bye, man.
Bye. The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Yes, good afternoon. Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. Andy Brassel will join us. We'll have a good look round Europe. Hat-trick for Steven Bergwijn for Ajax this weekend. Yes. Lukaku off the mark.
Great, good news. So good, glad to see that he's lost a stone.
Yeah.
He really is pathetic, isn't he? That cryptic thing he did. He's so irritating. You know what I mean? It's everybody else's fault. I mean, really, he should be ashamed of himself, what he did at Chelsea. It was pathetic. pathetic.
Well, there we are. He's more angry about that than he was Anthony Taylor yesterday.
No, that's it. Taylor red card both managers as well. Watched it again now.
Yeah.
He didn't need to. He just didn't need... All right, it was a bit aggressive.
It was the second time they'd gone head to head.
I just compounded a terrible performance from him, really.
Yeah.
But there you go.
Anyway, Mark Howells is going to join us later on, because sometimes in life you don't always mean it, but you just have a run of games as a ref, I'm sure. Where one team always seems to get sawn off. We'll see if that ever happened to Mark and how you get through it as a referee. And we've seen situations where in the past where they've said, just keep that, just don't create trouble for a ref or officials. Just keep them away from that team for a little while. But as we said, not enough top-level refs at the moment with so many retiring to mean that, the rota can be in such a situation that they won't be there at least two or three or four times a season. Anyway, we did ask you about troublesome handshakes earlier on today. I had one with the fine broadcaster Eddie Nestor, which was the sealing the deal on breaking my hand. Wasn't his fault. He offered a hand to shake it. I'd forgotten. I dislocated my finger earlier on that day. I think there was a slight crunch, and the rest is history. yes, we have troublesome handshakes in all shapes and forms. Mac, the Toon fan, got terrible arthritis in my right hand, and after every game I played on a Sunday, I had to endure the agony of the whole opposition players shaking my hand, be swollen for a week, and then it had calmed down and I'd have to go through it all again the following week. And there was the fist bump is really a fairly new thing, isn't it, for Brits?
Yeah.
So you wouldn't.
People still want to shake your hand. They do.
Yeah. Working as a doorman, I went to fist bump someone, but as it happened, they were holding their hand out to have it stamped to get back in. I was mortified, says Matt in Scunthorpe. So do keep those coming.
I did that. You reminded me of that thing when with Gary Player.
Yeah.
In the old building.
Gary Player was in the building with Danny Kelly recording a My Sporting Life.
Oh, that's right.
And it was at 4 o'clock. We'd finished the show, and Andy was having a post show, a bloot, weren't you? You'd popped into the loos there. Tell us what happened
then. Well, it's a bit naughty, man. I didn't wash my hands.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Can I use the kid's vernacular? You only had a tinkle. It doesn't make it right, kids.
And
if you are listening, always wash hands, even post-tinkle.
It
was a one-off, wasn't it?
It was a one-off. I normally, especially in these days, this was quite a long time ago.
Yeah.
No excuse. I should have washed my hands.
Yeah, you should.
But I didn't. So as I come out the loo, Gary Player is actually waiting there with his hand outstretched as he sees me.
Does he do that to everybody through a closed door? That's a strange thing in life. Could be anybody coming through the door.
I went, hello, and he thrust his hand towards me.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, what can I do? But he.
So you offered, post-tinkle,
Fortunately, he survived.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at him. He's in fine fettle, so it obviously didn't do him any damage. So we'll take those as well. Maybe moments when you shouldn't have shaken.
And the bloke from Lucha Libre tried to break my arm.
Oh, yeah, now that's always a funny clip.
He seems to think he's very funny.
Oh, it is very funny.
Clip on his phone.
He's got it as a hotkey on his phone. We watch it quite often, actually.
He's got two clips he loves, me doing that and Ray Stubbs falling through those cardboard boxes.
That's right, on Children in Need, there is two favourite clips. But it was some Lucha Libre wrestlers who came in, and they kind of went into their act. And one of them went to shake hands with Andy and then sort of turned him round and got him in an arm lock, to which Andy went, ah! And then to follow it up, another one of the wrestlers got him in a headlock, not really reading his discomfort and annoyance. Honestly, for anybody but Andy, it's absolutely hilarious. Maybe we'll put the clip up on TSH and J.
No, don't.
So you can all enjoy. Yeah, Andy, you'll see the funny side. That was a long time ago. This is a good day for you.
It was painful.
To leave a few things behind. Only a few hours after getting a tattoo on the palm of my hand, I saw my brother in town. Normally our handshakes are quite forceful at impact. Well, okay. Sounds like you're landing on the moon. Completely forgotten about my newly tattooed palm. I went in with the usual vigour. Needless to say, I yelped like a newly born dog. Did a beautiful turn of phrase, Ryan. Thank you.
There, yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. So do keep them coming. Troublesome handshakes. And solo singers. Have you got solo singers? Andy has encountered twins. One of them doesn't say boot to a goose. Mm. This is in his season ticket at Brentford. The other is one of those solo singers. Tries to start a song, then turns around, arms in the air, and goes, come on! and trying to get everybody going. They think, sit down, you Burke. Yes.
It's really funny. I'm still getting a lot of stick from people on the Chelsea website for having a season ticket for Brentford. They just can't understand it. They don't get the idea it's 10 minutes from my house and I love football and it's a chance to watch Premier League football in a completely stress-free environment. Yeah. And the other is the club I've loved since I was about four.
Yeah.
You know, there is a big difference.
Of course there is.
They don't seem to understand that. You know, they're going, oh, I couldn't do that. You think, oh, all right, that's your bad luck.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. It's very enjoyable. It was fascinating on Saturday as well. By the way, Brentford, you've seen the stats from that game. They outran United. It was amazing.
Yes.
Embarrassing, really.
Well, I thought, I mean, of all, Ten Hag, as I say, he hasn't completely covered himself in glory, although you can't blame him for all of this. But the symbolism of what he'd made them do, go into training yesterday and run 13.8 kilometres, the exact number of kilometres they were outrun by Brentford, to say, right, you're going to run exactly this. Get the stopwatch out. And telling him what he thinks, laying down the law. I think he needs to, doesn't he? Really?
Yeah, it's true. And good, interesting piece in the Sun this morning by Sun's Oliver Harvey, who we know from we met him in Kaliningrad at the worst hotel in the universe. And but he's been out to Doha to do a report, and it makes for interesting reading. But what I couldn't understand is there's a photo of him. He's in the desert on a camel, and it's about 50 degrees, and he's wearing the old thick 1966.
Do you know what, Andy? I think it was when they brought it's the thinner version because you look at what's written on it. I think it's not the old Umbro thick.
I thought it was that
cotton.
Thick one with a
No, England did a pure red shirt that looked very much like that.
Yeah,
so it's slightly Airtex, but still, he's got a T-shirt underneath it.
I know.
He's better than a vest, I guess.
Perhaps he probably thinks it's quite cool here at the moment.
As a 16-year-old, says David, I was on a job interview. I had 5 polo mints left, so put them all in my mouth. Okay. After a minute, they called me in for the interview. Panicking, I spat them into my hand. Well, okay.
Yeah.
The interviewer reached out and received my extremely sticky hand.
Oh, my God.
He had a look of disgust. I'm not surprised. He got a look of disgust and possibly 3 polos stuck to his hand.
It's true.
Yeah. So do keep them coming. Troublesome handshakes, solo singers you've had to put up with at your games. Talksport.com/H&J. Text to 81089. Tweet to TSH&J. Andy, a quick one for us?
Yeah, very interesting. A lot of columnists have sort of joined the chorus of critics of the Premier League care officers, as if this is something new. I don't know about you, but I've known people. There was Gary Staker at Chelsea. There's been players liaison officers for as long as the Premier League's existed.
Long time,
I don't know why suddenly it's become like this thing, and another stick to beat them with. They should be able to do their own stuff. They never have.
No,
and so
I mean,
you know.
It's like early. Actually, who were the first player liaison guys? It would have been probably early 90s.
Yeah,
wouldn't
I'd say that.
Well, I remember abroad they were doing it.
Yeah.
Again,
I'd say the mid 90s.
Yeah. There was clubs have always had stuff like that.
Yeah, it does seem odd.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Yeah, Monday night football tonight. Corking game.
Yeah.
Two entertaining sides, Liverpool versus Palace. And a man very much was skin in the game. He was there for the Arsenal game last week. His friend of the show, comedian, writer, author. It is Kevin Day. Good afternoon, Kevin.
Hello there, yes. I was very excited about the relegation six-pointer tonight at Anfield. Already
what
a crucial game for both
the
sides.
Season. That's a hard start for Palace, isn't it?
The fixture computer, like every referee, has got it in for us. I look at Brighton never seem to play a top-six team. We seem to be playing a top-six team every week. We've got City, Chelsea, Arsenal, Liverpool in the first 4 games.
Oh,
which
really?
Is tricky, yeah. And it turns out Arsenal, we thought, was going to be the easy one, but it turns out they're 10 times better than they were last season. So, and I apologise if listeners heard me snort when you both went, well, it's a good chance tonight, good time to play Liverpool, won't be as hot as before. In that these are not feelings shed by most Palace fans.
It's a difficult. It'll be a brilliant performance.
And we were talking earlier on about Scott Parker's comments after the City game, and he said, this is not our league, Man City away is not a game that will define our season. You could say the same about Liverpool, Anfield for Palace. I'm sure all of us fans, do you do this? Do you look at the mini league? I mean, you obviously set a bar where you want Palace to be, and you think everything over this is a bonus where I think we can finish, and you look at the games that you think, yeah, we've got to be getting 3 points there, we're going to do this, we're going to be top 8, top 10, top 6. I don't know where you set the bar, Kevin.
Top 17. that's pretty much it. It's an odd league, isn't it? And Leicester were an exception. And the trouble with Leicester winning the league is it made sure the top 6 will make sure that never happens again. So most of us are in a league that we can't win. So then you set your parameters. So do you want to get into Europe? Do you want to survive? Do you want to be comfortably mid-table? But you want to get to a stage where even now, this is our 10th season in the Premier League, we should be looking to go to Anfield and thinking we can compete here. And that's the beauty. That is the beauty of the Premier League generally. You look at, you know, Spain, Italy. It's so unlikely that the top two teams are beaten by other teams, and that partly because they don't tend to go and try and win games up there. We will try and win, we'll try and go forward, and that'll probably be the reason why we lose, to be perfectly honest.
I mean, they gave a very, very good and promising Arsenal team a good game, and I didn't see all of the game, but I watched the highlights, and they missed chances, didn't they?
Second half, we struggled even last season to put two halves together in one game. First half, I don't know whether we thought there would be the same Arsenal that we beat 3-0 in April, but the first half, Doucouré sat very deep, and Schlupp and Eze were very far forward. Wilf and Ayew didn't come off the wing, so that left a huge amount of space for Arsenal to pour forward into in the first half. If we do that again tonight in the first half, we'll be in trouble. I suspect he might play Hughes as a second holding midfielder tonight. I think he will have to, and I think it'll be interesting. The best passer we had was Joachim Andersen. He's fantastic. Some of the balls he was playing across the fullback to get to Wilf, so I suspect that'll be a tactic we go for tonight. But
they've let Benteke go. Is that a, I know he's a bit frustrating, but it seemed a bit of a strange thing when you need goals.
Well, do you know the odd thing is, defensively is where we need him, but we are so bad at defending set pieces. We're really poor defending set pieces, and that's where Benteke was useful. I'm sorry to see him go. I don't think there's any Palace fans who didn't like Benteke, because it's that classic old cliche. He never stopped running. He never stopped giving it
and
the
he
effort.
He didn't have a bad season last year. He was better, wasn't he?
Slightly. He's still... We bring these wide players in, and they put cross after cross after cross. Somehow, when Benteke comes on, they seem to stop doing that. You have to feel for him. What we still haven't got, is that sort of midfielder, that sort of Kabayi player who can pass the ball to his feet or in front of him where he could turn a centre back. So I felt for him. I mean, he scored 17 goals in his first season for us, and he had terrible injury problems. He's not the answer, but in terms of the forwards we've got options at the moment, I was really sad to see him go. Nice chap as well.
How bad a miss was Gallagher, you think, looking last week? They've been trying to talk about Eze playing a bit more centrally. I mean, what do you make of that?
For me, it's not a like-for-like replacement, to be perfectly honest. I'd rather see Eze play as a 10, really, like, and not the sort of energetic midfielder that Gallagher is. Eze doesn't get around the pitch in the same sort of way as Gallagher. He glides rather than runs around tackling. But that energy is going to be a really difficult one to replace. That's why
interesting with him, because he did get some game time yesterday. He did in the first game. Now Kante's injured. You presume?
Yeah, they won't let him go out.
He's
going to
play. So I would imagine that Chelsea are going to keep him.
That was a problem watching that game yesterday. Loftus Cheek started. We thought that's not good news.
Yeah, and played really well. Well, that was the best performances he's had.
That was even worse news, because we sat there watching it, thinking, well, if he has a really bad game, we've got a chance. And the same when Gallagher comes on, we go, oh, Gallagher's coming on, let's hope he falls over and then comes to Palace. But Gallagher's a brilliant player. He really is a brilliant player, but still, you look at Chelsea's squad and Chelsea's depth, I still don't see where he starts every game, Gallagher. Even with Kante being injured, I still don't see him as Tuchel's first choice anywhere, to be perfectly honest. And with the World Cup coming up, you still maybe... You think there is a chance? It's his decision. He's a Chelsea fan. Yeah. He wants to play for Chelsea.
I think a lot happens to the rest of the Trinity. If they got De Jong, for example, then they'd look at it again, I suppose. But I think if Chelsea fans want him to stay, then they can see he's a really good player.
We've been talking a lot about the nostalgia with the 30 years of the Premier League. Let's go back beyond the start of the Premier League, because they were playing football.
Beyond the start of the Premier League.
Hackney Marshes, this game was played on. No, it was Liverpool versus Crystal Palace. You'll know the date. It's probably seared in your memory. The 12th of September 1989. And it is a look. We've had a few 9-0s over the years. Ralph Hasenhüttl, you're off the hook. But this was a fairly infamous game, wasn't it? 9-0 at Anfield. Yeah, what were your memories of that?
Well, I wasn't one of the 34,000 lucky away fans who got there that night. So only Palace fans would pretend that they went to a 9-0 battering, basically. It's like the amount of Palace fans who I know for a fact weren't even in the country. Who said, yeah, no, of course I was there. No, you weren't. Yeah. Why are you pretending you were there? we had some friends. It was on the radio. We gave that up after a while. And then we went onto CFAX, which for young people is where kind of words came up on a TV screen. But every time we checked that, it was going up by two goals at a time.
Oh, dear.
The worst bit was when we missed the penalty at 6-0.
It could have been a turning point.
Anything could have happened.
You never know.
That would have put a bit of doubt in their minds.
Who missed the pen?
Jeff Thomas.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Steve Coppell, to his eternal credit, always said afterwards, they had nine shots on target and scored all of them. We had seven. The only good news, and this is how football fans' minds work, is that Liverpool scored so many that they knocked Millwall off the top of the table on goal difference. That was the only consolation.
Silver linings, yeah.
Well, also the other silver lining is that we ended up getting Nigel Martin out of it because poor old Perry Suckling was never... That's the joke going around the next day. Do you know what time is it? It's nearly 10 past Suckling.
it's the old Frank Haffey line.
Thank God it was pre-Twitter. It's just one of... You know, it's like most football fans listening to this who don't support a bit, when it gets to 5 or 6-0, you think it might as well be 10. You might as well break a record. You know, they beat us 7-0 at Sellers Park two seasons ago, and then you think, well, if they score three more, it puts a 9-0 to bed.
Yeah, the game finished 95-0 last week, I was reading.
Did it? Yeah, but there was two games. There were two games. Slightly suspect league matches. I think they're having a look at this.
It wasn't a cricket match.
One of them was 2-0 at half time. I think the other one was 1-0, and one of them finished 91-1, and the other one finished as 102-0. So
the pundits think of it as a game of two halves.
They think it was. I don't know what Graham Souness would have made of it. Yeah, would Messi have done there? Graham would have said, "I'm not quite sure." It's 102-0. We can get him out of this.
We know who Thomas Tuchel would have blamed.
Yes.
Can we put this to bed, by the way? Thomas Tuchel, who will get into an awful amount of trouble for suggesting that Anthony Taylor hates Chelsea. That's absolute, utter nonsense to suggest that Anthony Taylor hates Chelsea because it's Palace he hates.
Thanks for putting that right.
I think you don't have to watch any game he's ever ref us in to know he hates. That was brilliant yesterday.
Yeah.
That was lovely. I really like the fact that Jamie Carragher acknowledged when it was kicking off first time, and he said, well, we're supposed to say at this point that no one wants to see this sort of thing happening. Yes, we do.
I couldn't see a red card in it for both managers. I couldn't.
It was the second time, though, wasn't it? They got yellow carded. I mean, it was a straight red, but it could have been a second yellow. He might have given him second yellow. Yeah, he would have had the same
effect. He should have got second yellow for running down a touchline.
Yeah.
Don't they miss three games, isn't it, like players? They'll
miss one game.
But we don't know what Conte said to really annoy Tuchel for the first goal. I mean, I don't know.
I think he just got in his... I mean, Tuchel was upset because he thought it was a Benton call foul.
He wasn't annoyed with Conte. He was just annoyed with the fourth official.
No, Conte came and just looked at the Chelsea bench and gave it some. So that was... But, I mean, the handshake at the end, that really was... I mean, OK, do you have to have eye contact with every handshake? I mean, as I said, Lampard and Gerrard didn't. They not particularly. That was a bit of a cursory sort of...
I think he wanted to say something to him and he felt it was a bit... cursory images.
Well, I don't think you want it, so you might want to have a pop at him. I mean, I think Tottenham are thinking of appealing, apparently. I don't think they've got much chance.
You could see Conte obviously thought that he'd been alpha mailed.
Yeah.
So he did that classic pub thing where he thought, I can't let him do that to me. I've got to go back and do it to him.
Yeah.
which could have gone on for quite some time, basically.
Well, Kevin Day is with us, and we will continue to look ahead to tonight's game. But let me just give you those teams quickly. That day, 1990, here, it's been a nostalgia for Palace and Liverpool fans, and all fans of football, getting very nostalgic. Grobbelaar Hansen, Glenn Hussain, David Burrow, Stevie Nicol, Steve McMahon, Gary Gillespie, John Barnes, Ronnie Whelan, Peter Beardsley, Ian Rush. And it wasn't too shabby Palace side. You said Perry Suckling, never the same. David Burke was playing that day. John Pemberton, Jeff Hopkins, Eddie McGoldrick, Gary O'Reilly, Andy Gray, Jeff Thomas, Alan Pardew, Mark Wright, and Wrighty. And Wright was playing in that game.
More or less the same team that then beat Liverpool 4-3
in the FA Cup semi-final. That's true.
When Super Alan Pardew scored, still didn't realise that Super Alan Pardew was an ironic nickname even then. But that was the odd thing because Liverpool hadn't started that season particularly well. And when you look at that team, because they had people like Hussain and Burrows in, you think, well, that's not the world-beating team they've been in the last couple of seasons. Cut two. And it's only 3-0 at half-time.
That front line, isn't it?
Yeah, the front line is astonishing.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Kevin Day is with us in the studio. He's a big Crystal Palace fan, and they take on Liverpool tonight on TalkSport in our Monday night game.
I just had one thought before we move on. Going back to that game yesterday, that Romero, he should try grabbing Conte's hair like that. That would come out in his hand.
He doesn't like, apparently, he doesn't like his hair being touched.
No, he doesn't like it at all.
Conte?
No, he's not, you know, it's like he doesn't like anybody laying there.
Cucurella's rang him today, said, can I have your hair transplant?
Wasn't it a player who, when he was at Juve, somebody sort of ruffled his inter, somebody ruffled his hair, and I think it was a bit like that time somebody, when David Bentley tipped a bucket of water over Harry Redknapp. It was never quite the same. The relationship went, I think.
This is probably neither the time nor place to mention this, but the guy who executive produces Have I Got News For You can't stand having his neck stroked.
Really?
But he's got the soft.
Why did you do that?
Because he's got the softest neck. He just accidentally stroked the back of his neck once.
You can see, physically see, it's a very soft neck.
I've never stroked a swan's neck, but I imagine this is what a swan. But he doesn't like his neck being stroked. He's an old fashioned Barnsley lad.
I can understand. I mean, so do people. It wasn't just you. Other people have gone up and stroked this. Maybe it's once, like luck. Yeah. Maybe it's like old Bobby's nose in Edinburgh.
It's more like me saying. It's more like, it's actually me saying. It really annoys him. Go up and stroke the back.
He liked, you say, oh, he likes it.
No, he really hated it.
But you could say to people, what he really like, a new writer on Have I Got News For You, thing he really likes, day one, just for good luck, do you want to stay on the show, just stroke the back of his neck, just quite softly.
But that hair pulling, there was some utter nonsense spoke about VAR over the weekend. The hair pulling one was one, the ball's already out of play, it still would have been a corner to Tottenham.
The ball was on its way in, it was a free kick.
No, the ball, VAR can't change.
No, VAR can't change it.
Eventually, Taylor had seen it.
It was a free kick, and he should have been sent off.
Yeah, he should have been sent
and
off.
And therefore, they would have had a man less at the corner and all that sort of
thing. But only if Anthony Taylor saw it. I don't think VAR could have given a free kick.
No, VAR couldn't give a free kick, but he should have sent him off.
Could have sent him off, but there would have been another corner.
Still would have been a corner, but it would have been a man down to defend it. And this other thing as well, this idea that foul, if it was a foul, happened too long, VAR can't do it. There's a time limit. There's no time limit on VAR. Every pundit over the week, following that game yesterday, said, "Yeah, you can't go back that far." It's like the West. If Mikel Antonio had fouled the Forest player in the other half, that goal would still have been disallowed.
Yeah,
it's not a passage of play. The ball hadn't gone out.
As long as the ball doesn't go out,
it's the same passage of play.
But I suppose it's a subjective decision.
They had a lot of chances to clear it, Chelsea.
Before we let you go,
the other could also point out Jermaine Jenas, who I love, Jermaine Jenas, but his theory. Last night, that it can't be offside because the goalkeeper didn't appeal. So it's like he can't see. He's got a lot of people in front of him. Basically, it's not
offside's the maddest rule. No one knows what's going on. That was offside in any description, really. But there you go.
I suppose the biggest shock, really, of the weekend. Interesting to get your thoughts on. It was the Manchester United performance at Brentford. I mean, it is an absolute shocker. And look, no doubt things are going to pick up, and you know they'll be fine. But Manchester United shouldn't just be fine, should they?
I've mentioned Ash before, the chap who runs my local off licence, who's the maddest football fan, who loves Man United. And he was so. To the extent I actually went to another off licence on Saturday night, I couldn't face it. I thought I'm going to.
You actually changed off licence.
I'm going to have to give him a day. I can't face it. I went in yesterday. He was still. It's just. I thought that was a real indication that David De Gea, because they were saying, "Oh, how brave David De Gea is to volunteer to come out and chat." Basically, he volunteered to come out and throw everybody else under the bus, essentially, which is an indication. But that second goal, I don't care what. The new manager's philosophy is De Gea could see that he was marked.
Yeah.
The fullback took the goal kick for some bizarre reason. De Gea could see that he was marked. What's happening at that club that he still thinks it's a good idea to give it to him 12 yards out? And the fact is, whatever happens at Man United now, and I'm only repeating what everybody else says, and it's got to be root and branch from the top, it's going to take 5 seasons.
Yeah.
There's no easy way. You can see how he hasn't got the players to press. They didn't have last year. They haven't got the players you want. And then this nonsense yesterday, like a schoolmaster, he brings them in to run the missing 11 kilometres.
Liked his style there. 13.8.
He's trying to prove a point.
He's trying to make a point, isn't he?
Well, he is, but I would guess. I mean, if you're a top team, you probably shouldn't be running as much as a team like Brentford because you're letting the ball do the work. But just to actually bring them in and say, right, this is how we deal with it. You run that missing 13 kilometres and then we never mention it again. It doesn't... It doesn't work like that.
We should... Sorry, Kevin, we should ask you very quickly because we're running out of time. You've been in Edinburgh. Many listeners will go out there. Any recommendations? I know one was football-themed, your tennis in the break. That's good.
There's a brilliant play called The Giant Killers, which is about a match in 1879 between Darwin and the Old Etonians.
Wow.
Absolutely fantastic. Jim Daly, who had his guest on.
He's very good.
Really
yeah.
brilliant. Clubby Pets.
Yeah, part of the Palace family. She'll be watching. What time's she on tonight?
She's at 6 o'clock, but she comes on to Glad All Over. And also, just for sheer mischief at the Edinburgh Festival, her play-in music as the audience arrive is a selection of England World Cup songs, which is just engages the mood of the audience from that. There's a brilliant play about Les Dawson about Charlie Williams. I didn't see a bad show up there, but
good.
Chloe Pets, probably my favourite. Jim Daly, really good. Sarah Keyworth, there's a lot of... It's just nice to be back there. It's just so lovely.
That's what a lot of people have been saying, yeah.
It's wonderful. It's
finally, Kevin, where will you watch tonight? Watch at home or in the pub or in the off-licence?
I get really nervous. It's a 50-50 chance I might just walk around the park in Streatham. I've got a train for the marathon. I could do that. I hate watching games
I'm
not there. I really don't like
it's more nerve-wracking, isn't it? It is. Watching in the stadium.
Give us a score just before we go. What do you reckon tonight? Give us a prediction. What will you take? What will you be happy with?
Well, that's... If we're off the bottom, still on goal difference... I'll be happy. I'll break the habit of a lifetime. I think we'll probably lose 3-1.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
So thanks for listening. And if you can join us from 1 tomorrow, that'd be great. If not, the podcast, as always, will be available around 4 o'clock.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.